Hey, it's Andy. Welcome or welcome back to the Brownsbridge Church podcast. At the end of this episode, please take a moment to download the Brownsbridge Church app, where you can access all of our recent message content, as well as find out more information about Brownsbridge Church. And the app is the easiest way to share this content with a friend. But most importantly, I hope the following presentation inspires you to take your next step in your faith journey.
My name is Jim Straw. I have a beautiful wife, Gina, and two lovely kids, Kaylee and Kara. Like several of you in the audience today, I grew up in a Christian home with good family values.
My name is Gina Straw, and I did not grow up in a Christian home. It was not until I met my husband that we started going to church, not on a regular basis.
I was baptized as a child, and I was confirmed as a teenager. But I really did not understand what it meant to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. I lived my life pretty wild and crazy up until about 4 years ago when an event happened in my life that made me realize I needed to change my priorities of life. At the top of that list was going back to church and getting to know Jesus Christ.
With the birth of our first child, Kaylee, we knew we wanted to raise her in a Christian home. So that's when we met some friends that invited us to North Point, and that's when our true walk with Jesus started.
We started to get involved in a community group. It's during that community group that I really accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior.
I believe that is when I was saved, and today I want to publicly profess my faith in Jesus Christ. Thank you.
It's been a wonderful experience, and I'd like to thank everybody that has been in my community group, my family, my friends, and the people at North Point Church. Thank you very much for spending this special day with me.
Jim, because of your profession of faith in Jesus Christ and in obedience to His command, I am honored to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Gina, because of your profession of faith in Jesus Christ and in obedience to His command, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
If you're new to church or if you're new to our church, what you just saw was the way our church does baptism, except it's no longer in standard definition. It's now in high definition. And apparently we got rid of the fern that was like hanging down behind their heads, kind of gave that jungle feel to our baptism videos way back in the day. But here's the thing. This is the way our church has always done baptism. We've made a really, really big deal about it. We have people share their stories of how they put their faith in Jesus, how they came into a relationship with their Heavenly Father. And it's always a big celebration. It was a big celebration for Jim and Gina Straub in 2001 when they got baptized, the video you just saw. And if you've been around here for very long, you know it's still a really big celebration for people anytime they go public with their faith. It's not uncommon to hear air horns go off in church when people get baptized around here. Not uncommon to see confetti cannons being blasted from the balcony up there. I'm waiting for the day that somebody parachutes down from the top deck up there. Please don't do that. Our insurance probably doesn't cover it, but it's always a really, really big celebration. But the reality is it's still to be continued. I mean, it's a huge step to be baptized, to take that step in your faith journey, take that step of obedience. It's a huge step, but it's still just a step. It's still to be continued. And regardless of where you are with faith today, this is true for all of us. Faith for all of us is a journey. It's a process. It's to be continued. Now, we don't like this phrase. And the reason why we don't like this phrase, we've got to turn back the clock a little bit to remember this. And if you're younger in our audience, you're going to have a hard time believing that anything I say over the next few minutes is true. But there was a time before Netflix and before Amazon Video And before the unbelievable technology of DVR, and in those days, you had to watch something on TV. Follow me here. You had to watch something on TV when it was actually on TV. You had to whatever they were showing at the time was what you had to watch. I mean, today you can watch anything at any time. You pull up one app, and if it doesn't have what you want to watch, you close it, you open another app, and there's endless possibilities all around you. But back then, we were at the mercy of the networks. They were the ones who chose what we watched, and they chose when we watched it. Can you believe that? I mean, again, the younger people in the room are like, there's no way that what he's saying is true. But it was. We were at their mercy. The networks had all the power, but we had a secret weapon. And the secret weapon was the TV guide. Now, if you don't know what a TV guide is, really, this is one that just captures the product in the name. It is a guide to what's on TV. This thing would show you what's gonna play at all hours of the day on every channel that was available. The TV guide was our only defense against the networks that were trying to determine what we watched and when we watched. So we would use the TV guide to plan out our week. Do you guys remember doing this? You sit down on a Sunday, you start looking, okay, Wednesday night, 8 o'clock, Unsolved Mysteries. Can't miss it. My whole week, I don't even know what I'll do if I miss Unsolved Mysteries on Wednesday night. But the TV guide was the lifeblood of the American family in the late 90s, in the early 2000s. I mean, today we argue and disagree and fight about all sorts of different things. Back then, you'd just argue over the TV guide and who had control of it. It's so interesting that what was once so vital is now completely irrelevant. You don't even need the guide on your TV. All you have to do is just hold down a button on your remote control and tell the remote control what to bring up, and it just brings it up and plays it. But back in those days, in the days when the TV guide ruled, producers had to find different ways to get us hooked into their programming. And so what they would do is, if they had a 30-minute slot, they would plan an hour of programming. And then what they would do is, as their 30 minutes were up, they were about to roll credits, they would flash to this screen right here. You guys remember this? This was so painful, wasn't it? I mean, it made me angry back in the day. It was like, no, you can't do that. You can't cut to "To Be Continued," because typically it was in the middle of some major part of the story. There was some drama that was unfolding. There was some tension that was just thick in the air in the plot of this story. And then boom, they flash to "To Be Continued." It was never a calm part of the story. People weren't sitting there sipping lemonade and then it goes to "To Be Continued." That wouldn't work. We wouldn't be drawn in to see it again next week. But they would flash to this screen and it would drive us crazy. Why? Well, it's because we love resolution, don't we? We like for stories to have a bow tied up on them and be all nice and neat and everything to be in the right places and all to be well in whatever we're watching and whatever we're experiencing. We don't want to be left in limbo when we're watching something on TV. We've got to know if Jack Bauer cut the right cord and disabled that bomb and saved all those hostages. We've got to know if Meredith Grey marries McDreamy. And if you watch This Is Us at all, that first season of This Is Us, we had to know how Jack Pearson dies. You know, was it a car accident? You know, was it some sort of health issue? Did the crock pot do it? You know, we don't like being left in limbo. We don't like the "To Be Continued" feeling. And this is why we sit down to watch one Netflix show. I mean, at the end of a long day, we're like, hey, I'm just gonna check out for 30 minutes and I'm gonna watch a little Netflix just to kind of, you know, take it easy for a few minutes. And we sit down with the intention of watching one show and we get up 7 hours later having binged an entire season. And the reason we do this is that "To Be Continued" feeling. We can't stand living with it. We go from one show to the next because we can't stand that "To Be Continued" feeling. And Netflix even tries to help us out with it. They're like, are you still watching? you need to go do something with your life. Are you still watching? And we're like, yeah, I'm watching. I got to see what happens next. You see, we don't like seeing to be continued. And the reality is we don't like living to be continued either. We don't like it when our lives are to be continued. When there's areas of our lives that don't have resolution in them. That we're still in the meantime. We're still in process. We're still to be continued. We don't like to be continued in life. And this is a problem because, let's be honest, that's the way life normally is. Very rarely is every part of our life buttoned up the way we want it, the relationships kind of all in the right place, and career all in the right place, the family all in the right place. No, we're always to be continued. And how we respond to this to be continued reality, in a lot of ways, it will determine what we experience in life. This is especially true when it comes to faith. Throughout the New Testament, the New Testament authors, on multiple occasions, they talk about this idea of endurance and perseverance. They relate the Christian faith, the Christian walk, a relationship with Jesus, they relate it on multiple times to a race. They say, run the race with perseverance. Run the race that has been marked out before you. Run the race in such a way as to get the prize. They talk about this idea over and over again, that faith is to be continued. And because of that, we need to persevere and we need to have endurance. On one occasion, Paul was writing a letter to the Galatians, the people in Galatia. And at the very end of his letter, chapter 6, he says this. He says, let us not become weary in doing good. Let us not become weary. Paul knew that all of us, as we go along through life, all of us have a tendency to grow weary. I have a recent example of this as we took our family to Disney last week for Thanksgiving. Now, if you want to know what Disney is like at Thanksgiving, just imagine everybody on the face of the planet being in one place at one time, and that's it. That's the end of that joke. Like, you just imagine that. That is what Disney is like at Thanksgiving. And it was my wife and I and our four boys, and, you know, there was definitely a lot of complaining, and there was arguing, there was whining. There was even a lot of tears, and I'm not even going to get into what the kids did, but there were multiple times throughout the week where I was tempted to grow weary. And I don't know what it is in your life. I don't know that area or that thing in your life where you have a tendency to grow weary, but I bet you know what it is. I bet you if you thought for just a second or two, you could think of that person or that relationship. You could think of that area, that thing in your life that causes you to grow weary. And maybe a set of circumstances, maybe a health thing, maybe a job thing. It may just be that you got a really, really full schedule. I mean, most of us in here, we have a ton going on in life. And when people ask you, hey, how are things going? How do we answer? Oh, busy. And sometimes just the fullness of our schedule, the fullness of life can wear us out. It can cause us to grow weary. And Paul knew that if we began to grow weary, we would grow weary specifically in doing good. Don't grow weary in doing the negative things. It's not like we drift naturally away from the negative things and towards the positive things. It's like, no, when we begin to grow weary, we're gonna miss out on the good things in life. The decisions and the actions that will build towards the future we want to experience. The decisions and the actions that will make that relationship healthier, make us physically healthier. He says, don't become weary in doing good. Now, sometimes when we see this, we can think that in terms of faith, that this means, oh yeah, well, this is us doing good and trying to earn God's good graces or somehow get into his favor. But the reality is, Paul has spent the first five chapters of this book, the book of Galatians, talking about that and addressing that. In fact, if you've ever viewed religion or faith as something that we just work really hard to earn our way in, you should read the first five chapters of Galatians, because Paul is very clear and he's very passionate. as he communicates that, no, we earn God. We don't earn God's love. God gives us his love freely. We put our faith in Jesus, in the work that he's done on the cross and his resurrection. And because of that, we stand justified before God. We are made right before God. We are okay with God because of the work that Jesus did on our behalf. But now, in view of God's love, in response to that, this is how we should live. That's what he's turning to in chapter 6 here. He says, hey, we get to participate in doing the good that God wants us to do. We get to participate in his redemptive purpose, his restorative purpose on earth. And so Paul's challenging these Galatians, hey, don't become weary in doing good. For at the proper time, sometime in the future, the appropriate time when the time is right, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. We'll reap a harvest. We'll have something to show for it all. We'll have something that will last. It's not gonna fade away. It's not gonna perish. It's something that will last. And he connects it with what we're doing now. He's saying, hey, what we're doing now, although sometimes it may seem small, it may seem insignificant, what we are doing now will ultimately lead to what we're gonna experience later. What we're building now will determine what we experience later if we do not give up. Paul knew that our temptation, if we grew weary, would be to give up. It's like us in line for It's a Small World After All, which apparently it's not a small world after all, because if it was, that line would have been way shorter. And we're standing there and, you know, we're in line for 20 or 30 minutes and we've only moved a little bit. We're still in the sun. We're like, we can see the shade like 5 feet away from us. It's like, if we could just get into the shade, we might be able to make this thing happen. But the kids begin to just melt all around us. And I start looking around going, I wonder if anybody from Brownsbridge is here, because they're gonna be like, man, the pastor needs to get a hold of his kids because they are out of control. And what'd we do? I mean, we grew weary and we finally just gave up. We said, that's it, let's get the kids out of here. It's nap time, obviously. We've got a role. Paul knew that when we grow weary in life, our temptation will be to just give up, to just throw our hands up and say, you know what? It's not even worth trying. But Paul's saying, look, you will reap a harvest. You will reap a harvest down the road at the appropriate time. So please, please, please do not give up. Ultimately, what Paul is saying is, look, life is to be continued. And if we're always gonna deal with this to be continued reality, then what we need to do is continue. If life is to be continued, then continue. Continue in the good things. Continue in the things that you know your Heavenly Father's leading you to do. He's put it on your mind. He's put it on your heart again and again and again. Continue in those things. Continue in life. Continue in your relationships. Continue doing good in all aspects of life. Continue in faith. Continue taking steps in your relationship with Jesus. How is he leading you? And what is he leading you to do? Don't grow weary. Don't give up. Continue. Paul's saying we haven't arrived yet. We're in the meantime. We're in between time. We're in process. Life is to be continued. So continue. So back to the Straubs. In 2001, when they got baptized, the video you saw earlier, they had two young daughters. They were 1 and 3 at the time. And then shortly after that, they gave birth to a son. And then they had another daughter. And then they had another daughter. That's 5 kids, if you're counting. And now fast forward 17 years and Kaylee and Kara are in college. Caden is in high school. He's involved in Inside Out here. Cammie's in middle school. And Casey is in elementary school. Now just imagine 5 kids over the last 17 years. Imagine how much life has happened to them. That's like hundreds of doctor's visits right there and dentist visits. You know, they're all involved in sports. So they had countless games, thousands of practices they had to get to. Yet through it all, the Straubs stayed engaged. Jim and Gina involved in a small group. In fact, they've been involved in about four or five small groups over the last 17 years. They ended up beginning stepping up. They stepped up to serve. Jim was serving in parking and Gina was serving in Wombaland. And their kids stayed involved in all of our environments and they've been impacted tremendously. All five of them have been impacted in tremendous ways through the environments that have been created throughout this building. And they may not have realized it at the time, but every time Jim and Gina drove to Walking Wisely weekend, every time they dropped off one of their high schoolers at Vertical Reality, every time they stayed after service for kids' stuff, every time they went to small group, I mean, driving around on a Wednesday afternoon, probably thinking to themselves, man, I hope small group gets canceled tonight. We got a ton going on. We've all been there. Every time they made those decisions, they represented Paul's encouragement in Galatians. They did not become weary in doing good. They had a reason. I mean, nobody would have blamed them if they said, you know what, we got too much going on, five kids, sports, school, activities. We got a lot of life going on. But instead, they continued. They continued. Even in decisions that looked small. Wake up on a Sunday morning, you got five kids running around the house, like, are we gonna make it to service? And Gina told me a couple weeks ago, she said, yeah, we even attended the 9 o'clock service and we don't even like to get up early. And it's like in those moments, they had a decision to make, like, are we gonna dive into this thing and get these kids ready and get them to school, get them to church? Or are we just gonna check out and maybe take a pass this Sunday? And it seemed like a small deal. It seemed like one Sunday. But over time, that doing good has led to a harvest. It's led to an incredible story. And the story's not over, but they get to celebrate another step in their story today. And in a lot of ways, this is your story. If you've ever served here in any of our environments, you have impacted the Straub family. Guest services, Wombaland, Upstreet, Transit, Inside Out, groups. You know, you may have showed up on a Sunday and you didn't think what you were doing was a very big deal. You went, you got your coffee and you grabbed your donut or two donuts or seven donuts, whatever. Whatever you do, and you got to your station and you thought it was just another Sunday. But you didn't realize in that moment that that Sunday was building on another Sunday, and that was building on another Sunday, and that was building on another Sunday that would ultimately lead to the story that we're gonna celebrate today. So we're celebrating what you helped create. If you've ever given here, if you've been financially generous to this church, you've helped create the environments that have created the story that we are about to celebrate. You see, the Straubs, 17 years ago, took a really big step. But thankfully, they saw that it was just a step. And they continued in their faith journey. And they continued to engage. And today, we get to celebrate the next chapter in the Straub family's story.
Hello, my name is Jim Straub. I have a beautiful wife, Gina, and two lovely kids, Kaylee and Kara. Like several of you in the audience today, I grew up in a Christian home with good family values. I was baptized.
My name is Gina Straub. I did not grow up in a Christian home. It was not until I met my husband that we started going to church, not on a regular basis.
Miranda. Mom, your hair.
I don't think, did you guys do multiple takes on that one?
Cause no, it wasn't like this.
Yeah. You stuttered. You guys both stuttered a little.
I'm Kaylee Straub. I'm 20 years old.
I'm Kara, and I'm 18 years old.
I'm Kaden Straub, and I'm 16.
I'm Cami Straub, and I'm 12.
I'm Casey Straub, and I'm 9.
Attended church ever since I can remember. My family went to church every Sunday.
I've been going to Brownsbridge and North Point my whole life. I went through Wombaland, Upstreet, Transit, and now Inside Out.
I have attended Browns Bridge Church with my parents and siblings since I was born.
The first thing I remember about coming to this church was being in Up Street and singing the songs in large group.
My favorite part of Up Street is when we sing.
I remember coming to Browns Bridge and going to Up Street and falling in love with large group.
My favorite memory at Inside Out is when everyone wore all white and we threw paint balloons at each other.
My favorite part of Up Street in transit were when people did the activities and got pied in the face and stuff like that.
My small group had such a good impact on me. I loved my leaders, I was friends with all the girls, and I loved going to church. Our group went to Vertical Reality, and on the last night of worship, they played my favorite song, 10,000 Reasons. This song is so touching to me, and every time I hear it, I could feel God in my presence.
In eighth grade, I attended Walking Wisely, and in my small group, we talked about how Jesus died for us.
In sixth grade, I went to boot camp. I was asked to light a candle and sit close to the candle. This represented how close I was to Jesus.
In ninth grade, I attended Vertical Reality, and at a night of worship, I finally realized that I can put all my faith in Jesus.
I have placed my faith in Jesus Christ when I started reading the Bible and praying with my small group leaders.
And that's when I decided that I could place my faith in Jesus. I know that God will always be there for me.
I sat close to the lit candle, and I accepted Jesus Christ to be my personal Savior.
It was at Vertical Reality that I decided to accept Jesus as my personal Savior.
I currently attend Athens Church, and I am a volunteer in Up Street. I also joined a small group on UGA's campus.
I'm a typical teenage boy who doesn't think before I do something, but I know that Jesus is there for me at all times, no matter what.
Before accepting Christ, I didn't know where I was going to go after I died, but now I know I'm going to heaven. I look up to my four siblings because they have taught me about Jesus Christ.
Jesus has allowed me to open my eyes and see others differently. I want to love others as He loves me.
I want to thank my mom and dad for always believing in me through the good and the bad. Also, I'd like to thank my four sisters for always being there for me.
I would like to thank my family for always being there by my side whenever I needed them. And whenever I felt horrible, they were there for me. I want to thank my parents and my siblings for always being there and teaching me about Jesus Christ.
I'd like to thank my parents for always being there for me and bringing me to church. I'd like to thank my small group leaders, Emily and Kate, for being role models for me in the church. And most of all, I'd like to thank my best friend, Maddie, for inviting me to church and into her small group.
I want to thank my friends, my small group leader, and my family for guiding me closer to Jesus.
I'm here to let you know that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. I'm excited to be baptized and to share with all of you how much I love Jesus, and He's my Lord and Savior.
I'm here today to tell everybody that Jesus is my Lord and Savior.
I'm here today to share with you guys that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior.
I'm here today to let you know that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior.
Right next door to yours. And then we got a small group together. And I can tell you firsthand, your dad and your mom's been praying for this moment ever since. Based on your profession of faith in Jesus, it's my privilege to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Cammy, Transit is so excited to celebrate with you today, and it's my honor to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Caden, this room is filled with former high school students that didn't think before they acted often. You're not alone. Caden, based on your profession of faith in Jesus, it's my privilege to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Casey, we are so excited on Up Street to celebrate with you. And it's because you believe in Jesus that I get to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Kaylee, you're an incredible role model, and I know your story is going to be continued at the University of Georgia and beyond. Kaylee, based on your profession of faith in Jesus, it's my privilege to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Folks, this Straub family, weren't aware that the kids were all baptized earlier this morning in our 9 o'clock service, and we had them baptized in the different environments as well that they're currently in Upstreet and Transit. And what an exciting day. I asked Jim and Gina, we met several weeks ago, and just to talk through their story, and I said, hey, would you be willing to stand on stage with me? And Gina said, yes, as long as we don't have to say anything. So I'm gonna try to adhere to that request. But as we talked, I asked Jim, I said, hey, what motivated you through the years? In 17 years, the last 17 years, a lot of life's happened, 5 kids, a lot going on, job changes, health scares, things along those lines. Like what motivated you to stay involved and to stay engaged? And the first thing Jim said was, well, I mean, like we're not perfect people, and we didn't have perfect attendance. And I very quickly said, oh, I know. His eyes got real big. I was like, I'm just kidding. I don't really know. There's no way for me to track that. But he said we wanted to be anchored around God in the midst of all the craziness that's happening in the world. And I thought, you know what? That's really well said. And he said he wanted that for his kids as well as for he and Gina as well. And Jim, Gina, kiddos, we are so grateful for y'all. We're grateful that you've shared your story with us. Grateful that not only have you grown your faith here, you've put your faith into action through this church by stepping up and serving and being a part of our different environments. And we just couldn't say thank you enough for sharing your story with us today. And the best part is it's still to be continued. And we look forward to seeing what God is gonna continue to do through your lives as you follow him and as you lean into his direction and as he leads you forward. And as I mentioned earlier, this is really a story for this entire church. And the way that many of you have not grown weary in doing good, you've stepped up and served, you've been a part of this place week in and week out. And sometimes you may question if it's worth it, sometimes you may question if it's having an impact. And when you do, when that day comes, I hope you'll remember the Straub family. And you'll remember that there are countless others that we will never hear of that have had the same impact and that have experienced the same life change that they have. So thank you for all you've done. And ultimately, this is a story today about our Heavenly Father who continues to pursue us and invite us into relationship with him and invites us to be a part of what he's doing in the world. So in all of that, let's continue. Life is to be continued. So let's continue. Let me pray for us and then we'll be dismissed. Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Thank you for the Straub family. Thank you that 17 years ago, Jim and Gina took a huge step in their faith as they got plugged in at North Point. They got baptized, they got in a small group, God. And then a few years later, when Brownsbridge opened, they moved up here and they got involved and they were a part. And over time, God, they made decision after decision after decision that ultimately led to the harvest that we see today. And thank you, God, that that story's not over and that our story in this room is not over, that you're gonna continue to do great things in us as we continue to lean into you and follow you and not grow weary in doing good. God, would you help us do that? In Jesus' name, amen. One more time for the Straub family. Can we thank them? We hope to see you back next Sunday. Andy Stanley's gonna kick off a brand new series for our Christmas season. You guys have a great week. Enjoy the day.
Hey, once again, thanks for listening. If you're a Forsyth County resident, I would love for you to attend one of the weekend gatherings at Brownsbridge Church. For directions, service times, and information about our fabulous children's and student environments, please visit us at brownsbridgechurch.org. brownsbridgechurch.org.